Ladies and gentlemen, life is all about seizing opportunities. You need to be present, you need to be engaging, and you need to learn to take chances. The wedding industry is no different, and you only get one chance to create the perfect day. Welcome to the show. Guys, my name is AJ Cruz, and I'm the owner of a company called Buttoned Up Weddings and Events. And I'm so happy that you guys haven't seen this, but I already effed up the show. We're doing a re-recording all of a sudden. We were only 4 minutes in, but I realized that I was recording into the recorder instead of the mic. So, as Jesse said, you gotta mess some things up before you can start getting... If it was easy, everyone would do it, right? So, But yeah, I own a company called Buttoned Up Weddings and Events. We do wedding video and wedding photo. We're relatively new, but I created this show, The Perfect Day Show, to kind of have the opportunity to talk with people in the wedding industry, whether they're business owners, creatives, or wedding venue owners, or just anyone. We might even bring some wedding couples on here. But the whole purpose of this show is to really try and help educate people who are interested or involved in this industry. And so today I brought on Jesse Swanson. He's the owner of a company called DJ Chaos Productions, and this guy kills it on the dance floor. This guy owns his craft. I've never seen anyone do it like the way he does it. But before we get into his origin story, I want to take care of some housekeeping really quickly. So as we all know, a big part of the wedding industry is sharing word of mouth, sharing experiences, and posting on socials, you know, like giving referrals, the whole nine yards. And so what I ask for you for this show is to do us both a favor, is to copy the show link, whether you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, whatever it is, go to your Facebook page, go to your Facebook timeline, your IG story, paste the link, and then just hit share. You don't have to write a caption. You don't have to post any photos. Just copy the link and share the link. That's all we ask. Let's get this show out there for everybody to listen to. But Jesse, now that we've messed up this show already, let's get into this intro for you again. So the question I asked previously was your origin story. How did you become Jesse Swanson?
Yeah, so the Jesse Swanson today is a 37-year-old father of three, homeowner, totally self-employed. I've been self-employed for about 6 years now, and I can support my family and you know, take care of all my adult duties with living my dream. You know, it is a possibility. You know, we're in this generation, millennials, and you know, whatever you want to call the current young generation, they're go-getters, man. Like, and sometimes they just need to know, like, if you work hard enough, it really is out there to grab. So I was a drummer. I started drumming at 8 years old. I was in garage bands. We did that thing all through high school. And as soon as we graduated, everybody moved away. They moved away, and I didn't really have anything to do with music because I didn't play guitar. I didn't sing. So I can't just go to a bar and play drums, you know?
Could, but you'd look kind of goofy right now.
Yeah, I don't think I wouldn't have gotten paid too much. It would have been wild. So I really don't remember how I stumbled into DJing, the segue from the band. But I started DJing the bar scene. And like I said, I'm 37. So when I started DJing when I was 20, if you can do the math and go back, we're talking Usher, we're talking Lil Jon, we're talking Ludacris. Like, I got into the DJ scene at the exact right time. Yeah. Like, those were the jams on the radio current, and those are still the jams that we're filling the dance floor with today. So, like, when I started, you know, as a DJ, like, it fell in line, and it went perfect. And from then on, you know, you DJ bars, before you know it, people say, hey, I'm getting married, can you DJ my wedding? And so for a long time, I was that bar DJ, crappily DJing weddings, you know, drinking, doing a lot of unprofessional stuff, but slowly learned business and responsibility and professionalism. And, you know, here we are almost 20 years later.
For sure. So, like, obviously, like I said, you own the company DJ Chaos Productions, which your cards, I remember with the first, like, my first impression of your business card when you handed it to me was, like, it was, like, clear and it had that face on it.
Yep.
And you had this, like, marketing idea that when you do your photo booths, you can use it as, like, a mask, which is, like, super, super cool. I've never seen anyone do that.
Yeah.
But can you talk to me about how the idea for DJ Chaos Productions, like, where did that come from?
So honestly, I started, I kind of got into music production a little bit. That is, you know, after the bands moved away, I was a bachelor at the time. I basically turned my house into a recording studio / party spot, you know, people would come over and we'd party. We recorded albums in my dining room.
Yeah.
I had a lot of hip hop artists that would come over and lay down beats. They'd freestyle. We just had a lot of fun there for like a year and a half. The Chaos Productions name actually got created at that time, when I was still that bar party DJ / recording studio. And then, you know, I've gotten the comment a lot like, oh, Chaos, that doesn't sound very like
wedding-esque.
Yeah. That makes us a little nervous. All I can say is like, I just wanted to stick to my roots and, you know, I created this brand and built a reputation. And I feel like my business could be called Horrible DJ Services. And as long as I do a really good job and people talk about me, it doesn't matter what it's called.
Yeah. That's a huge deal, especially with like your branding. So, a big thing that I've noticed like doing this also is I was having a tough time trying to come up with a name for like Buttoned Up. Cause it was like, I think it was like True Weddings and Events. And then it was, obviously like AJ Cruz Creatives. And I was like, that sucks.
Yeah.
But, the big thing that I also learned was it's not the name that like makes the business. It's the service you provide. It's the professionalism that you were talking about. It's all the other things that people don't really pay attention to that you do in the moment or before or after the wedding that really make the brand of the company. Yep. And so like you said, like you wanted to stick to your roots and, you know, I think the name DJ Chaos Productions is very true to Jesse, which is a big deal.
Right. That's super awesome. And that's the thing is, you know, a DJ is a personality, is a persona, is, you know, they're kind of the personality for whatever event they're holding. Every DJ service out there is called Midwest Mobile DJ or Extreme DJ, Ultimate DJ. Like, I don't just want to blend in with the crowd. And, you know, it's really easy to come up with those Supreme DJ. Like, I don't stand out.
Sounds like a clothing company, kind of.
So it was just, it was kind of a blessing that I stuck with my guns and went through, because ain't nobody going to come up and call themselves Chaos Productions.
Like, that is a fact.
They'll be like, that's stupid. That's crazy. But I've built it, I think is the thing.
Definitely. So like, as you're building this company, I think a lot of companies that are really successful, I mean, you look at like the big companies like Complete, like Wedding, right? Mm-hmm. And like other companies like that, the Knot, right? Wedding Wire, all these. Like, four, are they, like, what exactly are they, by the way? Like, to kind of go off the beaten path really quick.
Like, the Knot and Wedding Wire?
Yeah, what would you consider them? Like, I've never really understood.
So, actually, they're together now. One bought the other. Okay. I don't know which one bought who, but they're actually joined forces now. And it's basically an online full wedding planning experience. You can create an account on there.
That's wild.
They have listed vendors. But some of the stuff I don't agree with on there is it's like a lot of things these days, it's all monetized. So the more money you spend with them, the better they say you are.
Yes.
So somebody could start a company today, give them $1 million, and they'd say they're the best company in the world because they paid us the most. I don't like that concept. Mm-hmm. You know, they hand out their best of wedding awards, which, not to take away from anybody at all.
Absolutely.
But basically, to be qualified for that, you have to get 5 reviews in 1 year. If you scour the internet for my reviews, we get hundreds of reviews a year.
Yeah.
I just don't get them on there because I don't promote their site.
Yeah.
So then I'm not the best of.
Yeah.
Which is totally okay with me. Yeah. You know, the awards that I do win,
they're the ones that matter.
And that the awards that I'm proud of are the ones that I feel I actually earned.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I feel they're legitimate. I didn't pay for them. I feel like true people voted. And, you know, I'm very proud of the awards that I do have.
That's awesome, man. So, like, what are some of the awards that you won? I know you got Best of Omaha, right?
Yeah, the big one is Best of Omaha.
That's awesome.
You know, that's the thing that the community here takes very, very seriously. You know, you go around, dentists have it on their windows, mm-hmm. lawyers. And it is still a popularity contest.
Yeah.
It comes down to how many people will vote for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes back to small business, support system, friends, family,
absolutely.
Previous clients, you know, just taking that 2 seconds to click a button yep. and vote and say, I support you. I want you to continue to grow. So Best of Omaha, and they do run it legitimately. You can't just make 500 emails and vote for yourself 500 times. They check it out. So that is the one that I do promote. I am proud of.
Mm-hmm.
Does it say I'm the best DJ in Omaha? No, there's mm-hmm. a lot of DJs, whether they're club DJs, wedding, there's a lot of DJs in the area that are better than me or as good yeah. as me or whatever. Just because I won first place does not mean I'm the best, but it does mean I have one hell of a support system.
Absolutely. I think that says a lot about your customer service, because I think a big part of the wedding industry is like delivering on those experiences and like really making sure that you leave that impression on your wedding couples. So if you're saying that your family and your friends, but not only them, but like the wedding couples that you've worked with, like that says a lot about your company, right. like in itself. So to hear you say yes, like even though you've won number one doesn't mean you're the best. I like to look at things from like an objective point of view. I'm not a very like, I feel like I'm very empathetic, but I'm not like, I don't make very big decisions or I don't like look at the world from an emotional perspective. Right. So like mm-hmm. if I were to win the Omaha Best Award, right, I would look at it from an objective standpoint. Like, you're a very humble guy, by the way. Let me just say that, because like I wouldn't say like if I won it, like I would say I'm the best, but like that says a lot. Like that speaks volumes, right? Because not everyone sure. wins it. Not right. everyone wins first place. So I think in the year 2020 or in the year 2019, you won it 2020, right?
So they take the top three.
Okay.
They call the second and third place winners, mm-hmm. and they call the winner first place.
Okay.
So I technically took second place the previous 2 years, mm-hmm. and this year I took first place.
That's good shit, man. So that's awesome. Yeah. That's what I'm saying though, is like, I think objectively, like it just shows, like it holds you to a higher standard and it says a lot about your business. So I think objectively in my eyes, like I think you deserve to call yourself like the best in Omaha personally.
I appreciate it.
Because that's what it is, right? And not everyone wins that award.
You know, and I know the pool of DJs that we have in Omaha. Mm-hmm. I've networked with as many as I possibly can.
Yeah.
There's some incredible people here.
Oh, absolutely.
So just to be in that pool, mm-hmm. that's, as a small town Iowa boy,
yeah.
that's huge for me.
Yeah.
You know, just to be recognized and respected, you know, just the fact, if I could be in the top 20 in Omaha,
mm-hmm.
that's incredible.
That's super awesome, man. So my big question for you now is, you know, starting this company, you know, winning these awards, what's your vision for, like, because I know being a business owner, a big part of that is having a vision for what you want. It's mm-hmm. kind of the part of being an entrepreneur, right?
Right.
And so what's your vision for your business? Like, where do you see your business being in the next 5-10 years?
So my vision for my company has evolved so much over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've reached goals and I've seen like, oh my gosh, like we're not done yet.
Yeah.
Like I thought this was where I wanted to be, mm-hmm. but now I'm looking so much farther.
Yeah.
5 to 10 years. I don't know. There's what I do is I look at huge, huge successful companies that also have very similar mindset to what I have. One of them is a company up in Sioux Falls, South Dakota called Pinnacle Entertainment, Pinnacle Productions. A guy named Chris Hintz, one of the kindest, most humble guys, runs a multi-million dollar production company up there, and they just do the events they do, like
next level.
Out of Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and mm-hmm. you're just like, holy cow.
Yeah.
I definitely, you know, message him quite often. And, you know, I've sat down, had dinner with him, and just to surround myself with people that are so much bigger than me
mm-hmm.
and they've done it, they've seen it.
Yeah.
Similar to what he's doing, a little more bigger production stuff, catering a little, I'll always love the weddings. I'll always do the weddings.
Absolutely.
But I think there's some really good business in corporate stuff, big mm-hmm. corporate stuff, the video screens, you know, when they bring speakers from out of the country or from California to speak to PayPal, Aflac, Facebook, you know, yeah. they need a production team to come in and set all this stuff up and make sure the microphones work, make sure the video screens work. And that's what Pinnacle does. And they do, I don't know that there's anybody in the country that does better than they do. So I love just keeping an eye on the people that are where I would dream to be.
Yeah.
But I know if I dream it, it literally can come true, because where I'm at today, I never would have mm-hmm. thunk that I could be here.
Absolutely. I think that I like the fact that you said you sat down and had dinner with them. Like, that's super cool. Mm-hmm. There's a lot to be said about like the type of people you surround yourself with. And I feel like I say this a lot, and I feel like it's super cliche to say, but like, you are a direct reflection of the top five people that you hang out with.
Yep.
And so I've tried to implement that into my own life. So like, I think before we started the episode here, I told, like, being able to even sit down in the same room and like talk with people like you, talk with people like, you know, Chris and like Brett, like all those different people who have found success in their field. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm looking at that as like the level. I'm like, okay, that's the first, like, I need to get there. I right. have to get there right now. But then like, there's always more to like be achieved. Right. And so I'm constantly seeing myself and like booting people out of my circle, bringing new people in, just to like constantly try and like keep evolving. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a big note for like you guys to be able to like take away, is really, really like look at who you're surrounding yourself with, who you're networking with, and the connections you're making, because that in itself can say a lot about the type of person that you are. So I think that's huge.
Yeah. And that's one of the big things in business that I've found in the last 10 years mm-hmm. is, you know, I network, but sometimes I'll network with people and then I'll let them drift off because maybe they don't have this same element of passion yeah. that I have for the business. Or, you know, DJ industry, I see them come and go all the time.
Absolutely.
Like, they're super passionate about it. Maybe mm-hmm. they feel they get too old for it. Maybe they get distracted by another passion. Mm-hmm. I've been on that laser path for the last 18 years. But also setting small goals for myself, because if you set this, you know, if I set this goal and say, I want to be like Pinnacle Productions.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of money to spend and a lot of research to do. And, you know, that's a big goal.
Yeah.
I have to set little goals to keep myself focused and to keep myself energized to mm-hmm. say, like, we did this. We did, you know, whether it's saying next year I want to book this amount of weddings per year.
Yeah.
Or maybe I want to see if I can raise my price a little bit more so I can pay my DJs a little bit more.
Absolutely.
Pricing is it's a scary thing, man, because you love your clients and yeah. you want to give them the best deal you can, but you love your business. And, you know, yeah. in order for a business to grow and thrive, you've got to charge enough.
Yeah,
so it's a terrifying thing. Mm-hmm. Anytime I raise my price by $5, it's like, please don't let that be yeah. the stick that break the camel's yeah. back. You yeah. know, like, it's terrifying.
Absolutely. So what are some of the small goals that you've like kind of like just recently maybe crushed, or some of the things that, you know, you want to like achieve?
So recently, so this year, 2020,
yeah,
it was the year that everybody, a lot in our industry, just kind of shut down.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Said like, we can't spend any money. All mm-hmm. of our gigs canceled. We're just stopping for yeah. a while. We're just putting it on hold.
So like living off of that savings or whatever they need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, from the very beginning of this, I said, you know, this is going to separate the men from the boys.
Absolutely.
This is our test.
Yeah.
Probably the test of my life and business is this year. So I pushed as hard as I could. Mm-hmm. Goals that I've wanted to do. I've got some new DJ booths. You saw one of my new yeah. DJ booths.
Dude, sick, by the way.
So just, I've always been trying to break the mold of, yeah. of the norm. And as the trends grow,
yeah.
I want my style that I was 5 years ago, I want that to be the current trend.
Absolutely.
Because I want to be 5 years ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So I do watch these East Coast guys, maybe even European guys. Like, what are the trends that they're doing? I want to bring that to the Midwest.
Because
yeah. we're traditionalists and we're a little old fashioned.
Yeah.
So we do get the trends a little bit later than everybody else. So these new DJ booths, I've spent a lot of money this year. My tax lady's she'll either love me or hate me this year, one of the two.
Tax write-offs, man.
but I a lot of equipment goals this year that I wanted to do. I really, really stepped my game up in microphones, my two DJ booths I've got. And then we also upgraded all of our other DJs quite a bit, new lighting and just some new stuff just to keep it fresh. Rather than putting everything on hold and say we're not doing anything this year, push forward and we're a whole different company next year than we were this year.
Absolutely.
I actually want to show you this really quick. Have you seen, do you know who Andy Frisella is?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so I printed this off, and I just started listening like this year, right? So this is called Win the Day. I feel like people probably can't hear me. So this is called Win the Day, and it's his saying, and it's a thing that he does in almost all of his podcasts, but it's the idea that you set small goals every single day, and you achieve them every single day, and that'll get you closer to your big goal.
Absolutely. Right?
And so let me put this back up really quick. Sorry, I just had like a spaz out moment.
No, that's 100%. You know, if you can wake up in the morning and just say, like, I'm going to be farther tonight than where I was this morning, you know, whether it's sending that one extra email, redoing your contract, making one little tweak on your website, you know, there's so many little, tiny, usually free.
Yeah.
It just takes your time. You know, my fiance can tell you how many hours, you know, I'm a DJ. So people think, oh, he probably just goes out on Saturdays and plays music. I spend probably 6 to 8 hours a day in my office. What the heck am I doing in there? I'm racking my brain for, you know, where can I go? Social media post, website tweak. Should we start scheduling, maybe shooting some new promo videos? Like,
absolutely.
There's always something you can be doing.
Definitely. Definitely. I've noticed that too. Like I said, you know, buttoned ups, like it's a baby, right? It's a few months old. Like I've been doing wedding video for 2 years.
Sure.
But like the business itself is a few months old. And so I find it's crazy because when I was doing it on my own, it was easy because I was promoting myself. But now like when you start this new business, I literally feel like I'm starting over again.
Yeah.
Which is like super, I don't know if the right word is demoralizing, but like there's a sense of like, shit, why am I, this sucks. Like it's hard. And so, you know, I feel the same way. Like this is my office space. Obviously we've turned it kind of into this podcast studio, but like this is my area where I work. And I find myself in here, like, you know, when I get off of my main job, I come home and I work for 4 or 5 hours. I'm up till like 10 or 11 at night. And it's literally because I'm sitting here, I'm like, I need to make the next sale. I need to over deliver to the next client. I need to do something so that people see us.
Right.
Right. And so like, I think that's the thing that people don't see is like how hard it is to like really just keep, you have to keep that momentum going. It's like it's a monster. You have to keep feeding the monster. Right.
I quote all the time, you know, I say I network with a lot of these DJs, whether they're itty bitty, they do 2 weddings a year or if they do 300 weddings a year, I network with all these guys. And one thing for me, social media, right? Facebook, Instagram, they're free. They cost us nothing. Yes, you can spend money on ads, but there's so many of the free things that people slip on that literally take 2 seconds. Like I've gone as far as taking DJs' logos, remaking them to fit perfectly for like their profile photo, making them a perfectly fit banner photo, emailing it to them. This is another DJ company. This is my competition.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, here, these are optimized for your social media. I check a week later, they haven't updated it. Like literally they got to click a couple buttons on their phone. I did all the work. I spent more time, more effort on their business than they spent. Yeah. So it just shows me like, I can't be mad at them. They're just less passionate.
Yeah.
But those are things I see, like, you know, list your business as your occupation. How long does that take? Because your friends are going to go to your page.
Like, what is this?
And be like, oh, that's his job.
Yeah.
Boom. Yeah, so many little things. And I stay on these DJs about it. Like, man, update this or you haven't made a post in 3 months. Find an article on the Knot or Wedding Wire and just share it.
Yeah.
You know, something to stay relevant. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, and I stay on these guys. Some of them, you know, I rub the wrong way. And they're like, damn, Jesse, you're such a jerk. It's because I truly care about them. Mm-hmm. And I care about the industry. Like, I want us all to be held to a higher standard.
Absolutely. That's really awesome, man. So let's segue this conversation to kind of like a little bit of a different direction, because I like having these conversations with you, and I hope that we can have more in the future. Like, I like the deep talks. But I want to talk about something maybe a little bit more beneficial for specifically like wedding couples, right? So yeah. I talked to you about this a little bit before the show, but also I want to pick your brain on, you know, what are some things that you notice that wedding couples do when they're doing their wedding planning that they could maybe do differently? What's some advice that you could maybe give them to make their lives just a little bit easier?
One of the first pieces of advice that I give my couples right when they book me is I tell them, try to make the planning process a relationship building process. Mm-hmm. Like, don't make it pile this mountain of stress on you to where every decision you make is creating tension in your relationship or animosity, or, you know, oh, how much are you spending on that? We can't. Do your best to come together as a couple and let that year of planning actually elevate what that wedding means to you. Mm-hmm. Use it as a test for your relationship to see if you can endure a stressful planning process.
Yeah.
Should we get married?
Yeah.
So that's one big thing. And I always tell them my part of it is going to be the funnest part. It's going to be very casual. We're going to sit down and, I mean, we talk about the party. That's what we talk about.
Yeah.
It's not seeing if she can fit into her dress or how many tears should we have on our cake. Like, you know, catering can be stressful. How many guests do you have at your wedding? It's X amount per plate. And money is, you know, that's the root of most people's stress. So financially, another piece of advice I always give too is prioritize what's important. You don't have to have the best of everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the most important to you? Is it the cake? Because your grandma who passed away was a baker, so that's a very sentimental thing to you, is you want an awesome cake. Is it the dress? Like, does you having an incredible dress, is that the most important thing? For most people, the answer I get is we want everybody to have fun. That's their top priority. So you prioritize things. You don't have to get the most expensive cake, the most expensive flowers. Set your priority list, spend the most money on your top priorities, and then dwindle it down.
I love that. I think, so you said the thing that most people want is just to have fun.
That's the answer that I get. Yeah. You know, the answer a videographer might get is we want to capture the day.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're speaking to us as vendors and they're saying what we want to hear.
Yeah.
But yeah, the answer I get is they just want all their guests to have a good time. And, you know, I mean, everybody wants all their guests to walk out and say, that's the best wedding I've ever been to.
Yeah.
They don't just want to be another number of the 13 weddings they went to that year. And that's what I try to give, is kind of a personalized touch on their wedding. And I also want to really give a ton of energy in that last half hour, because that's what people are going to remember. Mm-hmm. When they're walking out the door, they want more. I love when people are like, play one more, and I physically can't. Like, like the security guards are like, Jesse, shut it off. You can't. But they're going to be on their way home talking about how much fun they had.
Yeah.
So that's one of my goals.
That's super awesome. Whenever I would just want to kind of bounce some ideas off of this, but like whenever I have conversations with wedding couples too, like the first thing they ask is, how much do you charge? And like, although everyone, like, you know, money's important, right? And like, you know, if you're sticking to a budget as a wedding couple, obviously you want to try and stick as close to that as possible. And so the first question they ask is, you know, how much do you charge? But I think both on the vendor side of things, as well as the wedding couples side of things, is to just have a conversation. Like, remember that when you're talking to people. People don't buy things, they buy from people, right?
Right.
And so the biggest thing to remember is to just make sure that you're having those conversations. You know, you're asking them, you know, if you could just tell me what your dream wedding day is like. Just tell me what do you see? I don't care if you want to talk about the wedding, like the video side of things, the photo, or the DJ, whatever it is. What is the perfect wedding day for you, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get into those like smaller conversations where you're talking about, you know, like, how do you have fun? How do you handle stress? What's the one thing you're looking forward to most to get captured, right? And then you can start getting into budget, right? But to understand the wedding couple, and to really understand what they're looking for and what they want. And obviously I'm speaking from only 2 years of experience. You have like more under your belt, right? Right. I hope I'm like kind of hitting it on the nail or hitting the nail on the head, but like having those conversations first, I think will really kind of break down those walls. Cause I think people come into these conversations like, I want to spend $2,000 on wedding capture and that's all I'm willing to spend. So they have that wall up.
Right.
Right. And so then you have these conversations with them. They're like, wow. But like they see the bigger picture of what it is. Cause it's not just photography and it's not just video. It's not just a DJ service. It's not, you know, it's an experience. And I think once you have those conversations, it really breaks that down.
And that's a conversation I have, mostly with DJs, that because that's, but it's nice to see your angle, like the questions that you ask and the things that are important to you to make sure you offer the best service. Me, I'm asking, you know, what are family traditions? Mm-hmm. What are this or that? But from a business owner aspect, it comes down to value. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, they can. All my pricing is public, first of all, because I got tired of that question.
Yeah,
how much do you charge? Well, I can tell you how much I charge and I can send you to somebody that literally charges 1/10 of what I charge. Mm-hmm. And we do quote unquote the same thing, right? For example, there's a DJ here in Omaha.
Yeah.
I'm Facebook friends with him. I talk to him. He's not my enemy. Charges $150 for a wedding. Mm-hmm. If you compare my services with his, I think you'll see some added value on my side.
Yeah.
I'd hope so anyway. Yeah. If not,
yeah,
you know, should he raise his prices? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't want to. And that's, there's nothing wrong with that. It's his little side hustle.
Yeah.
It's okay. There's a lot of things that I have to give to a client to show them value. Why would you pay 10 times the amount for this DJ versus this DJ? Mm-hmm. Well, here's X, Y, Z. And none of those things are saying I'm simply a better DJ. A lot of it is, look at this ambiance I can give you.
Yeah.
I'm insured. I pay taxes. This isn't my little side hustle. You have me 24 hours a day versus after I get off of work at 6 till I go to bed, you know?
Yeah.
So there's so many little tiny things, I think, that a client can benefit from paying more because, you know, just like my DJs. There are DJ companies that have multiple DJs in the area that pay their DJs $150. Mm-hmm. I pay my DJs 3 to 4 times that because I want them to have that passion. I want them to go there and be rewarded for some damn good work. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be like, oh, I'm getting paid $10 an hour. I'm going to put in my time. No, this is people's weddings we're talking about. Yeah. Like, I need people to go there and slay it.
Yeah.
So that's my philosophy with my business.
I love that too, man. Cause like you, when you start doing that, when you start paying your people, right. Cause what I remember, I made it a point when I started buttoned up that the people who I bring on are going to get paid really well, literally after I heard you say that. And the reason is because when you do that, it really separates the cream from the crowd.
Absolutely.
Like you find out the people who are really passionate about it and who are really good at their craft. And those are the people you want on your team. The people who really give a shit, right?
Yep.
So I remember that, and it is stuck with me for the past 3 months now, and it's just...
I mean, it's hard to do as business owners. Yeah. Like, we're essentially doing this for a paycheck, right? Mm-hmm. So to give away half of your paycheck for this wedding, it's tough. But when you get that 5-star review, when you get that response from the bride saying, oh my God, DJ Lacey, we've never seen a better DJ, but... It just solidifies like what we're doing is right.
Absolutely.
My DJs are able, some of them do this full time on my payroll. So I'm helping feed their families. And, you know, I can't expect them to work for $10 an hour in a craft that we're in, which we're supposed to be experts, you know. They're worth more than that. They're phenomenal. Like they wouldn't be on my team if they weren't. So they need to be rewarded for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I love this, man. I've loved this conversation. I want to kind of bring this whole conversation kind of full circle now to kind of give that extra little piece of like value to these people who are in this industry. So if you could give, and this obviously isn't on my question sheet, but if you could give maybe your top two pieces of advice for maybe somebody who needs to try and secure a wedding, or they're trying to secure a wedding, or they're just getting into the industry. What are your kind of top two pieces of advice you could give?
I would say, you know, I'll direct one to the business owner and one to the couple.
Absolutely.
So to the business owner, if you're looking to get, we'll just say wedding industry as a whole. We won't even say DJ industry. For one, respect your peers. Like, they've been hustling this. They've learned a lot of lessons. There's probably a reason they do things a lot of the way they do. Mm-hmm. Don't just go in and be like, I can do it for half the price. I can do the exact same thing. If anything, go shadow them, you know, work for them for free for one day to learn, like, why does he do it this way or that? So I think respect somebody mm-hmm. coming, do a ton of research. Don't just dive in and say, that guy charges way too much or he does things stupid. I can do it better. From a couple standpoint, diving into wedding planning, diving into the whole process, research, like I kind of talked about, you know, there's price points, videographers, DJs, everybody. You can literally find a price point from $0 to $10,000 for, like I said, quote unquote, the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, you'll find that you pay for what you get. You'll see these posts all the time. Oh, we need a videographer last minute. Ours canceled. DJ. We see him all the time. Mm-hmm. My DJ can't make it to my wedding. I need a DJ at 4 p.m. today. I hate seeing that. But most of the time it's due to, you know, they only wanted to spend $200 on their DJ or whatever. I don't want that for anybody. So just research, read legitimate reviews, get together with them in person if you can. Mm. 2020, you know, it's tough. Zoom meetings are definitely my friend right now. But get that personality. Like, yeah. Don't just look at a price tag. Look at personality. Look at business structure. Make sure they're legitimate and they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's a big deal, man. That's a really, really big deal. I was just having a conversation with a buddy of mine who got married last year, and he was like, I know, like, this is a big number. I don't run into very many people who spend this much money on a wedding photographer or videographer, but he spent like $10,000 on his photographer. Mm-hmm. And it blew my mind, because I'm like, how do people charge that much, and like, what makes them different? And it's like, it's just that, like, you can, it's hard to put it into words what makes them different, but when you get like that in-person experience, you see them working on their craft, you really, really get to see like the very clear divide between somebody who charges $500 for wedding video and somebody who charges $10,000 for mm-hmm. wedding video. They either typically have a team, or they have a process of how they interact with people on, like, on the yep. wedding day, and they probably have a process of how they handle the footage afterwards.
Yep.
There's a lot more. Like, when you see somebody charging, and this is obviously I'm just speaking from my behalf, like from like my industry, but like mm-hmm. when you see somebody charge, say, $3,000 for wedding photography, you look at that as, most wedding couples, I would assume, probably look at that as, oh, photos, to get photos is $3,000. But it's like, no, that's not what it is.
Yeah.
There's so many things that you don't see that maybe it wouldn't hurt to just have that conversation with a photographer and ask him, why do you charge this much? Mm-hmm. Like, because I'm sure they'll be very transparent and they'll be very honest, because I feel like a lot of people who are in this industry who have been doing it for a long time are very honest about why they do what they do and how they do it.
Right. So, well, and one of the biggest photographers, I'm yeah. sure, videography, I know photographers whose lenses cost more yeah. than what they charge. Like, one lens can cost more than what they charge for a wedding. Mm-hmm. I did a wedding last weekend, and I kind of in my head added up the equipment I had in my van taking to this wedding. It was a full package. We do photo booth. We do some lighting. So for example, this was a $2,500 wedding. Mm-hmm. I took $25,000 worth of equipment into that venue to get a $2,500 paycheck. Mm-hmm. Plus I had to pay labor and stuff. So while maybe to that couple, $2,500 seems like crazy, mm-hmm. I've got a storage unit or a garage full of equipment. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and that's just equipment, you know, yeah. equipment is, to me, the value of what we do isn't our equipment, because we choose to spend that money.
Absolutely.
But it just gives them a little insight as to, okay, like, yeah. I get it.
Yeah. So then what was that other piece of advice? You said you wanted to direct one towards the wedding couple and then one towards the business owner. So you got the business owner, but what's a piece of advice you'd maybe give to a wedding couple?
The wedding couple, I was just saying to do their research, you know, really dig in and, you know, find those vendors, try, do your best to look past. Everybody has a budget. Mm. I always respect everybody's budget. But setting those priorities, like I said, helps. Maybe you can spend a little bit more on your photographer if mm-hmm. you don't spend quite as much on the flowers or whatever. Mm-hmm. That'd be me, you know, in my wedding, I don't care about the live flowers. Like those mean nothing to me because the next day they're gone or dead or whatever. So I would spend more money. I've seen quality photographers and videographers, and I've seen the difference in product that you get when you spend a little more money. You know, you've got you, we've talked about Brett Bruner as a photographer, like, and I also see how you guys interact with the client that day. One piece of advice I always give to brides when I say, have you chosen your photographer yet? Mm. And they say, no. Do you have any recommendations? I usually won't give them names unless I know they're, you know, maybe in that circle. But what I will say is meet with them and hire somebody that you're going to enjoy spending all day with. Mm-hmm. Because especially photos, if you have a photographer that's forcing you to smile, that's the memory you're going to have when you look back at that photo. If you have a photographer that's making you like belly laugh, that's the memory you're going to have with that photographer when you look back at those photos. So that's the advice I always give. Cause I have photographers, I'll say her name, Tori Bruno.
Yeah.
She's got a little trick that she does with her couples. So Tori's an out of the box photographer. She's goofy. She's fun. She might not be for everybody, but she absolutely, I would definitely hire her for mine. When she's doing like a couple bride and groom standing in a flower bush or whatever, she'll tell the groom to draw a penis with his nose on the cheek of the bride. And you can imagine like how much they're laughing while they're doing this, right? Like it's just kind of a fun little trick, and you can't do that. You can't do that with every couple. But I think it's hilarious and it gets authentic laughs, authentic smiles, like just, you know, that's something she told me and I'll never forget it. Cause you can't draw a penis with your nose on somebody's cheek without laughing.
I would test everyone listening to this episode to try and do that with your significant other today. When you're listening to this episode, pause this episode right now, walk over to your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband, or your wife, and try and draw a penis on their cheek with your nose and tell them what you're doing and then see if you guys laugh or if you don't laugh.
So. If anybody does it without laughing, like they're not even alive.
No, they're
like,
not. They're not people.
Just
they're,
hang it up.
They're aliens. If you want to take a video of it, like a selfie and try and like,
oh yeah,
I wish our camera was recording right now, but like draw it.
No, and then you aren't drawn on my cheek.
No. And send it over guys. So, awesome, Jesse. Well, I want to say really quick, like, thank you so much for kind of giving me this opportunity to pick your brain and talk to you about, you know, you and the industry and seeing like what your thoughts are and everything and the way you perceive this amazing career path that we have both chosen. I think it's super awesome. And I want to take a few moments here just really quick for you to kind of plug your business. And where can people find you? Where can people, you know, either go to book or go to just see content that you post?
Yeah. So our business is 95% weddings. So that's what all of our website and everything is catered to. So our website is www.chaosproductionsweddings.com. Most of our inquiries come right through there. But you can also find us on all the social media platforms, DJ Chaos Productions. I guess that's the handle. If you just Google Chaos Productions, you'll find my little DJ guy logo. It stands out. But please check us out. You know, let us know what you think. Always happy to set up a video chat or a phone call. Even I always tell couples like that we're already booked for. Our calendar's full. We can't do it. But I'm going to help you find somebody great. I'll tell you what questions to ask. I'll tell you what to look for. Totally non-bias. I just want you to have an awesome wedding.
That's super awesome. I can hear that that's coming from a very genuine place. So thank you so much for that, Jesse. And I want to take a few moments here. If you guys are still listening to this episode, I want to say thank you so much for, you know, staying tuned in and taking notes and really listening to the things that we have to say, because I really genuinely believe that they have a lot of value for you guys. And I think that you can take something away from each of these episodes. So with that being said, guys, you know, if you listen to this on Spotify, we really appreciate it if you gave this podcast a follow. If you're listening to this on iTunes, if you want to give us a 5-star rating, you have to. I'm saying you have to. If you don't, I will find you and I will book you for a wedding. Maybe, hopefully. That'd be super awesome. But give us a 5-star rating, guys. We'd really, really appreciate that. Let us know what your thoughts are on this show. It'd be super amazing. Give us a follow on IG. You know, Jesse plugged his company in their Instagram, but you can find us at Buttoned Up Weddings on Instagram, on Facebook. You can find us on YouTube. You know, we post tricks, we post tips, we post wedding video and photo, obviously, and now we'll be uploading these little podcast short forms as well. So with that being said, I'm going to bounce back to the housekeeping really quick. Copy the link, put it in your Facebook feed, and hit share. I know that's going to be able to give a lot of love over to DJ Chaos Productions as well as the Perfect Day Show. And with that being said, guys, take care. I don't really have a recited outro for this, but go crush it. Boom.